Well, so, yeah, if you have your Bible there, we'll begin reading in verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 9:11. The Bible says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. If you underline your Bible, I've underlined that in my Bible, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ there. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul is explaining to the Corinthians that it is a just statement for him to proclaim that he is an apostle, and he's not trying to, you know, twist their arm or anything like that, but he's talking about the rights and the privileges he has. He's explaining that, he should be compensated and he should be taken care of if he is preaching the gospel. And he's saying, you know, that those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But that's what he's saying there in verse 11 and 12 there. He says he says, if others be partakers of this power over you, the people that, that work at the utility office, I mean, they expect for us to send a bill to the utility office to pay their salary. And he's saying, if other people have that power over you, he says, don't we have that ability to have that power over you? He's saying, we're sowing to you spiritual things. And so it'd be a great thing if we reap your carnal things, like a delicious cup of coffee or a bed to sleep in or whatever. He says, nevertheless, we've not used this power. He says, I'm not interested in the money. I'm not interested in a roof over my head. He says, because I'm concerned that if I made a big deal of those things, it would hinder the gospel of Christ. And so we see, first of all, building a bridge to the gospel is that it cannot be forced. It cannot be forced. If you and I are going to build a bridge to our lost loved ones, we can't force it on them. We have the right to force it on them, do we not? Hey, I mean, people are dying and going to hell by the moment. Hey, we should grab people and shake them and say, you need Jesus. This is real. We've got that right. We've got that authority. But if we do that, they're going to look at us like we're a maniac. It can't be forced. And here's a simple thing. Don't demand authority. Earn it. Don't demand authority. Earn it. You could look at Philippians 2, 5 through 9. We won't turn there for sake of time, but Philippians 2, 5 through 9 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Tell you what, if Jesus Christ himself didn't force himself on anyone, neither do you and I have the right. Oh, but I'm thankful that there were some people that said, never man spake like this man spoke. Amen. And they believed on him and they trusted him. He earned their respect. And that's exactly what Paul did. He said, I'm going to suffer it. I want to tell you what, we ruin earning the respect of people because I know there's been times, there's been people that have come to our church, they've wore a ball cap, and it's not protocol to wear a ball cap in church. Of course, there are people, and I know there's one man that asked a man, hey, please take that ball cap off, and he made such an issue of it that the individual was offended and they didn't come, and I think that we should respect the house of God. Hey, but I want to tell you what, as a child of God, we should suffer all things. I want to tell you what, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, and it doesn't matter if it's somebody that's been in church all their life and they know how to dress and they know how to talk, or if it's somebody that's walking in the church and they're urinating themselves because they're so intoxicating. Hey, the Bible says, suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Amen. And this statement would follow suit with this point that people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Amen. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was healing the dead, raising the sick, feeding the hungry. I'm going to tell you what, people knew that He was serious. Amen. Whenever He stopped the storm, they said, "Hey, do you not care that we perish?" And He stopped the storm. And they said, "What manner of man is this?" Amen. I'll tell you what, God can use me and you to stop the storms in people's lives. And they'll say, "How in the world were you able to do that?" And it's not through us. We say it's through the Lord. Amen. He's the storm stopper. Amen. But number two, moving along here, number two, it must be the focus. Look at verses 15 and 16. Building a bridge to the gospel, it must be the focus. Verse 15 and 16, it says, "But I've used none of these things, neither I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You know what? A lot of us have picked a hill to die on. You know, a lot of us have picked this COVID thing as our hill to die on, and whether we're pro-vax or whether we're anti-vax or whatever. And don't get me wrong, there's certainly a debate over it, and it's certainly something that touches home. And I believe my simple opinion on it is that it's in between you and God. It's in between you and God. And you just go to God, and what God tells you to do, do it. Amen. But we don't need to make that hill our hill to die on. Verse number 15, he says, "It were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void." In other words, what he's saying, he said, the gospel is my hill to die on. And anything, if we're going to pick a hill to die on tonight, it needs to be the gospel. I'm going to tell you what, when we meet the person behind the cash register, our focus needs to be the gospel of Christ. And with our husband or wife that might not know the Lord, or a family member that might not know the Lord, our desire should be, and our prayer should be, and our aim should be that we would rather die than to not be able to get the gospel to them. So we must build a bridge to the gospel. Luke 19:10, it says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord Jesus Christ, His desire, His hill to die on was the gospel. That's literally what led Him to Golgotha's hill. Amen. And then lastly, and I'm done, but not only must it be the focus, but number three, it must be familiar. Notice verse number 20, he says, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And so we see here that it must be familiar. We're not going to be able to build a bridge to the gospel. A lot of times, and I'm going to tell you what, back in the 50s, going and knocking on somebody's door and going over the Romans Road with somebody, I mean, they were already prepared. I mean, there's a lady that goes to her church in Alexandria, Gospelite, that she listened to Billy Graham on the television back in the 60s, I think, and got down in her living room and prayed and asked Jesus to save her. And I'll tell you what, she's a firecracker. She loves the Lord. It's genuine. Why is that? Because the bridge was already there. It was culturally normal. But I'm telling you what, we're reaching a whole society that doesn't know the Jesus that people were calling on back in the 50s and 60s, and we're having to build a bridge back to it. It's got to be familiar. Find common ground. You know, Jesus even asked in Matthew 16:15, He asked the disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" I think probably one of the most beneficial things that I've learned in witnessing recently is just asking people, "What do you believe? Really, just be honest with me. What do you believe? I'm not going to pick on you. I'm not going to criticize. I'll tell you what, here's a common rule in handling people. Don't know how to handle people. The problem that the reason that we don't win a lot of people to Jesus is because we don't ever win them to ourselves. Again, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Wise preacher told me you've got to win them to yourself, win them to what you're doing, win them to Jesus. Amen. And a common rule in handling people is never criticize, condemn, or complain. Now I've learned that. You know, we came to Minnesota. We're the Baptists. You know, I'll tell you what, we came from a place where, I mean, most people were Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when they die, they'll be Baptist dead. Amen. And you can kind of have this stereotype, praise the Lord, we're the only ones that know about Jesus. We're the only ones that are right with God. You know. And I was just talking with a neighbor there at the church there. You know, I just got on level ground with him. And I wrote this statement down. It was supposed to be on my first point, but my memory. This was from Ralph Emerson. Every man in some way is my superior, and in that I learn from him. Every man in some way is my superior, and in that I learn from him. I'll tell you what, if we have the attitude that we're better than people, we'll never win them. I'll tell you what, a man's a Lutheran, been in a Lutheran church all of his life. And if I'll accept him where he's at, and let him accept me where I'm at, I've got a chance of winning that man to Christ. I love on him and build a bridge to the gospel. I think about in Acts 17, verses 16 through 34, you see that the Apostle Paul goes to Mars Hill. And he was just going there for vacation, basically. I mean, we know he wasn't going there for vacation, but he didn't necessarily have intentions preaching the gospel in Athens. He was just passing through. And he was sickened. Place is wholly given over to idolatry. And we find out when you read that text, you find out why. And here it is. Here it is. This is why you need to know what somebody believes. You don't need, the Bible says to be quick to hear, slow to speak. The best way for us to reach people is for us to let them talk first. And Paul let them do the talking first. So this place is wholly given over to idolatry, and he finds out why. He goes and looks, and he says, you've got this statue. It says, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. And that's where he picked up at. That was where their bridge was broken. They believed in God. Praise the Lord. Hey, praise God. I'm dealing with people that are atheists. Amen. I'm building bridges with people that are atheists right now. I would love for them to believe in God. Amen. That's just one more check off the list. Those men in Athens, they believed in God, but he was unknown to them. Paul says, hey, I know what you're missing. But here's the thing, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know why the city was wholly given over to idolatry? It was because of the premise that God was unknown. And because God was unknown, he was wood, hay, stubble, stone, whatever. They didn't know who he was. The man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why we need to know what's in a man's heart. What do they believe? Build the bridge. From there, we'll have a chance of reaching them with the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Dear God, we pray, Lord, that you would take this message and use it as you see fit. Dear Lord, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for calling us into the ministry. Thank you for these fine folks here, Lord. Pray that you bless them and encourage them in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning.